The global financial crisis is continuing to occupy the minds and attentions of the world's most powerful nations, as we saw at last week's G20 summit, and we'll see again at next week's key meetings of the World Bank and IMF. But how confident can we be that the correct measures are being taken to avoid a repeat of the financial meltdown in the future? And is the plight of the world's poorest nations, as the economic crunch bites harder, being somewhat overlooked? Another key issue linked to the financial crisis that has aroused widespread ill feeling in both Europe and the US is the much criticised practice of awarding huge bonuses to bankers and senior executives in the world of finance and business. A newspaper report said that in the US, nearly 5,000 bankers and traders were paid more than $1 million in bonuses in 2008. What's more, these bumper pay packages came at a time when profits at the biggest banks plummeted, with many of them being bailed out by government and taxpayer money. The practice of giving huge bonuses to bankers has been blamed by many observers for helping to foster the climate of reckless risk-taking that helped trigger the global financial crisis. Aldo Cagliari is a leading member of SIDSI, an international alliance of Catholic development agencies, and has been taking a long and hard look at this and other issues linked to the global financial crisis. He says radical measures are needed to reform the way our globalised economy operates, but so far it largely seems to be business as usual.
Actually, I am not confident at all that the right measures are being taken. I think actually opportunities have been missed with the G20 meeting, looking at the agenda of the World Bank and the IMF meetings. I think also the right discussions are not taking place. So I am not confident that we are actually avoiding a meltdown in the future.
And do you think that the continuing plight of the world's poorest nations are only now really beginning to feel the full effects of this, shall we say, global financial crunch, is being overlooked?
Yes, exactly. If you look at the cycle of the economies, it seems as if some of the economies in the north are feeling a bit of a revival now. But the problem is that in the south, the impacts are just starting. And you have to remember that the starting point for the poorest countries is actually a much lower one, a situation of more dire poverty, more hunger, less access to services, all those things that were in there, some limited gains had been made before the crisis, and now those gains are being erased. And this is just starting in those countries, not coming to an end.
And how bad do you think it's likely to get unless corrective action is taken?
I think we are going to see a very difficult crisis happening in terms of jobs, in terms of food prices, a continuation of the problems that we had seen before, but very particularly debt problems are going to be worsened because countries are being given as a solution to exit the crisis. They are being given more loans, and we have already seen what happens when you try to solve crisis problems with loans. So we're going to see huge rises in public debt, which are going to lead to even more problems in the future.
Now, of course, excessive risk-taking was blamed as one of the contributory causes of the global financial crisis, particularly the issue of bankers' bonuses. This has been an issue that has clearly aroused widespread ill feeling in both the US and Europe. And as we saw at the G20 meeting, the leaders agreed on a compromise deal on this issue. I mean, are you satisfied with the measures that were announced on this issue?
No, obviously, this is a very important ethical issue. You see, what happens with the measures that were announced on this issue, as well as on a number of other issues that have to do with financial regulation, is that the language that is agreed is so vague, and it is done in that way, so countries that have very deep differences of appreciation about those issues can agree to the language, right? The problem is then the implementation has to happen at a country level. So that's what we're going to see the problem projected, because this in each country that these definitions have to happen, and there isn't really the same concept. So I don't think, I'm not very confident that we have actually reached the degree of international cooperation that is needed to tackle these issues on a consistent basis across a number of countries.
Is it known how much the pay for top executives has increased over the past decade, and how does this rate of increase compare with the rise in pay for lower level workers? I mean, are we seeing the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer?
That is what the numbers are saying. Particularly in the case of the US, there has been an increase of like 30 times the gap that was between the pay of top executives and low-level employees. And this is confirmed by studies from all over, from think tanks in the U.S., from the International Labor Organization, the UN. A number of institutions have studied this, and inequality has been widening. This is very clear.
There are indications that despite, as we've seen, this widespread public anger over bankers' bonuses that erupted after the global financial meltdown, that it's still business as usual on this front for many banks and other businesses as the economy starts very gradually to pick up again. Why is this? Haven't they learnt the lesson?
I think the right questions are not being addressed in the public discussion. So the lessons that should be learned, actually, I think it is the government that should bring those lessons to the table. And governments, in many cases, are not doing it, are behaving in a way that is, one could say, very polite to banks. They fear that if you damage the banks further, then maybe the situation can get worse. No, banks will not lend. So there is a tendency to try to put quick fixes on the problem in the hope that this will get the economy restarted faster. But then in doing that so quickly, what's happening is that the discussion of the more basic issues that led to the crisis, some of them in the area of banking regulation, some of them in the area of the global imbalances of the economies, those issues are not being addressed out of fear that, if you alienate the banking community in a discussion that is going to end up meaning too large losses for them, then we may be worse off. But the problem is that we are actually wasting an opportunity to address root causes of the crisis. And this, in my impression, is going to lead to even bigger crises in the future because the problems continue there. As you say, it's mostly business as usual, some little changes here and there, but not fundamental. So if we don't address the fundamentals, we should not be surprised that we are going to continue seeing crises of growing proportions, and we're going to continue to see this increasing inequality, and we're going to see more of this government having to use taxpayers' money to bail out reckless risk-taking by the private sector.
Apart from reckless risk-taking, I mean, how much is greed to blame, do you think, for this global financial crisis?
Yeah, no, definitely. When I say risk-taking, I think the risk is actually taken for greedy motives, right? I think there is a certain role for what I would call it constructive greed. When you are an entrepreneur, you have an idea, you want to put in practice the motor, the engine that leads people to do things, there is some degree of greed there. Now, when that greed is unchecked, one of the things that is happening now is that if you are a banker in one of the too big to fail institutions, you know that you can be very greedy because you know the state is going to be there ultimately to bail out the institution. So actually the incentives to have this reckless risk-taking are even greater because you know that the state is going to be there to save you.
Okay. As a Catholic, what do you believe should be the ethical rules that govern how people run the economy? I mean, Pope Benedict, for instance, in his latest encyclical, you know, talked about the need to work towards the common good rather than huge profits at all costs.
Definitely. I think the common good sets some limits to how much one can pursue profit. You have to remember the social function of property. So to what extent is it ethically correct to just accumulate money, for example, or capital without making it be of use to the common good, to the well-being of people in society? You have human rights. So to what extent is it okay to have this huge accumulation of wealth in some places where in some other places people are suffering, or the impacts of the crisis, how they are affecting the most vulnerable, depriving them of the access to basic rights, no? So human rights and what is necessary for for people to have a minimum of well-being, that is a question from an ethical perspective. The question of the care for the earth, no, the natural resources, to what extent the model on which businesses are functioning is a model that is compatible with the conservation and the continuation of and recreation of the resources in the earth, as well as human resources, no, the reproduction of the workforce in the future. All those are principles that come from a Catholic social teaching that we have to take into account. I think they operate, they are useful guidelines for how to redesign an economy that is actually more consistent with ethics.
I was speaking to Aldo Calieri, a Catholic development expert. It makes a world go round.